These things that are ugly on the appearance, but life itself, being born into the world, is a beautiful thing. My oldest daughter just recently had a child, and her labor was a little hard. And one of the statements she made was, "This is supposed to be a beautiful thing." I said, "It is, but it's also a painful thing." So life itself can be very beautiful, and oftentimes it can have a lot of pain with it. But the one thing that can ground each one of us and bring us back to the original intent and original purpose of the creation of man is the Word of God. That is the Bible. Why are we born? Why are we here? Why did God allow us to be born in this time and in this family, in this country, in this city, in this state, you know, in this condition, in this health condition? So many things we may ask why to. And that is our journey. Each one of us, we have that journey of as spiritual being born in the flesh and discovering our purpose and why we're here. And make no mistake about it, in order to affect change in the world, we must be in a physical body to do so. So spiritual being, angels and all of those things, spiritual beings, your loved ones that's gone on, that have died, they no longer have the physical effect in the world. Now, they may have done things that have set their families up so that life can be better. Those that have come before us may have did things that our life is better. But when we are born and when we come of age, it is our job as individuals to make the world that we're living in a better place. And there's a process to all of that. Amen. And so tonight, I want to deal with a few things. Amen. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, I'm going to give you a few verses from that. And I think I'm going to give you a verse from Matthew, but I tell it to you. And I read it in the King James, and I may at some other point go and read it in another, but as I wrote this, I wrote it in the King James, so from the King James, correct. So Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, challenged each one of us of the Christian faith. It challenges us because you don't know this without studying the Word of God. You can't know this without studying the Word of God. But this statement says to us, Philippians, that's in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Amen. It reads as follows, "Mine be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, what I take from this one particular verse of text, remember I shared with many of you that the word let, L-E-T, is a word of creation. When we read Genesis, God said, "Let there be," and then there was. "Let there be," then there was. So when we hear the word let, it is one of creation, creativity. It is one that brings forth the word allowance. Amen. So when I say, let them use the restroom, I'm stating to you to allow them to do something that maybe they wasn't able to do before. And the restroom has purpose. So to allow them to use it, it means that they had need of it. So to say, hey, let me use your vacuum cleaner. Let means there's something that needs to be done. And what is being requested is the means of accomplishing the end, which is to clean up. The purpose of a vacuum is to suck up dirt and foreign objects off a carpet or floor. So if I'm saying, let me use your vacuum, not using it for decoration, it has purpose. And so with giving this bold statement here, saying, let this mind, in other words, the person that is speaking to us has an understanding of a current state. And so his understanding of the behavior of the mind of Christ, he's speaking to us in allowing the duty, the observance of what they were able to visually see and partake in and had an understanding of, which was the mind of Christ, which represent his behavior, his actions, the work that he done. So Jesus' mind was, I must work the work of him that sent me. So we're being told here, Paul is telling the Philippians, those in Philippi, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, in your personal study, I would like for you to go back and start at verse 1 and read this chapter in its entirety. And it'll fill in certain other gaps that time won't permit me to do and stay on task tonight. So therefore, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The word Christ here is also the word Messiah, which is the anointed one. So it wasn't just any Jesus. It wasn't just any Yeshua. It wasn't any person. It was the anointed one of God, Jesus, the one that was sent to fulfill the will and purpose that God sent him to do. He's saying to us, let that be our mindset. In other words, you take a father who's built a business and has sons. And he wants the sons, he desires that his sons will follow in his footsteps and take over the business, expanding the business or maintaining or growing and developing the business so that they may pass it on to their son. So there's a purpose to have a mindset. That father will begin to teach his sons how to relate to the customers, how to relate to the partners in the business, the people he's getting his product from. That father will communicate with him on selling practices, communicate with him on advertising and the quality of product. So that father will hope that his sons gravitate to the same nature of providing genuine or good service for those that are going to be constituents of that business. And so we are being encouraged that we are to take on the business. What is the business? Saving souls. But in order for me to take on that business, I must be partaker of it. I must involve myself in it. I must dive into it. I must understand the ins and outs of it. And that which I don't understand, that's the thing that I must seek after. So many of us, especially if you didn't grow up in a Christian home, there's a lot of things about the Bible that may be a mystery to you. And even if you grew up in a good Christian home, there still may be some things that we don't understand. Therefore, we are instructed to seek. That word seek is look for diligently. It says seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. That's Matthew 6 and 33. So we must understand why Christ was doing what he did. That's a process, because we just don't get that. That just does not instantly become our nature. We must go after it. Okay? Now, in the same book and the same chapter, Philippians chapter 2, if we go down to verse 12 and 13, and once again, I want to say thank you for joining us today here on the 6-5 Motivational Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you once again for joining me this evening. And I hope you do have your Bibles with you, a pen and pencil, or your computer device, so that you can take down these notes, write down your own notes. Because while I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you on how to share certain things with other people. And then there may be some things that the Holy Spirit may be giving you personally for you to help with your development process. Because I'm teaching from a broad span. I'm not there with you personally. And so I can't acknowledge your fingers lifted up so that you may ask your personal question to get a particular answer. And if you're listening to this on recording, you're going to hear what's going to be said, and you may have questions that I may not answer within this setting. But the Holy Spirit is intelligent. He knows how to speak to you when you hear this and as you're hearing this. And that's the purpose of having the Holy Spirit living in us. He will teach us and guide us into all truth. So, matter of fact, let me pause for a moment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, as we go into your word today, as we journey into the sacred scriptures to learn more, to grow, to develop, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your understanding. You said in your word, Father, in all our getting, get understanding. And so today, we pray for the understanding that we need, that we may fulfill the purpose in why we're doing what we're doing and why we're here where we're at. And we thank you, Father God. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Once again, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Let's read that together. Amen. It reads, wherefore, and I'm reading King James today, it says, wherefore, my beloved as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only. See, I do got to pause right here, because a lot of people will behave a certain way in front of a preacher. Even on my job, sometimes I hear them make a remark, say, "Oh, you about to make me say something in front of the preacher." I said, "Let me move over here then. Let me go that y'all way." But so he said, "You may have done certain things in my presence, but, you know, we want you to behave right even outside of our presence, because thank you for the respect and reverence that you give me as a man of God, a servant of God. But be it known to all of us that God is still present with both the sinner and the unsinner. God is here. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. So he's here, there, everywhere at the same time, and he knows all." So in our doing what we do, yes, we can get by with man, but we can't fool God. So let this thing be personal. Don't develop a bad habit of only behaving good around certain people. Let that be part of your nature. Let that be part of your character. In other words, let your integrity become that nature. So we started out with, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So the mind of Christ was to do the will of God, period. Didn't matter who was looking. That earlier scripture before it said he made no representation of himself. He wasn't trying to put on me. No, it wasn't about that. It was about coming, gathering those that was called the children of Israel, so that they would not be left out, because he also came to draw those that were called Gentiles. And we see that as we study scriptures, as we study some of the older prophets, they talked about God reaching out to the Gentiles. I saw that in scripture. Amen. Amen. And so as we journey into the Word of God, let's understand the Word of God is for all people. Matter of fact, the covenant promise that God made with Abraham, he said, "Because of you, all nations of the world shall be blessed." So the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible itself, and the Bible itself, all the scriptures, all the sacred scriptures, is for each one of us, regardless from where we come from, okay? And it works for each of us that will be willing to apply it and trust it to do what it says it's going to do. Amen. So back to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation." Wow. That's a very loaded statement. And it takes us to dig into it to fully get that understanding. But he says, "Work out your own salvation with." So here's the conditions: with fear and trembling. In other words, be very, like Elmer Fudd said, be very, very careful. So be very careful of how you do salvation. Because we're saved by grace, but we're not to handle this as a loose-fitting glove. No, we're to be careful in working out our salvation, not your salvation. Kenneth has to work on his own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because my soul is saved instant, but my body, my mind, my intellect, it is being transformed into that new creature daily. So growth is automatic, but development must be done on purpose. And so you may be destined to be a doctor, but you're going to have to go to school. You're going to have to learn the medical field. You're going to have to learn what to do, what not to do. And you're going to have to go through those classes, whether you're an electrician, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a carpenter, whatever type job, a nurse, a bookkeeper, a babysitter, you're going to have to learn what it takes to do what it is that needs to be done. A husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a student, a child. Process of learning. Amen? So we must work that out individually. So, once again, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God, not man. It is God which worketh in you the will and to do of his good pleasure. That means the purpose that God implanted inside each one of us. We must purpose in our heart and mind by having the mind of Christ to fulfill that will, okay? Because it is for the good pleasures of God. So let me give you 3 points concerning that particular thing of salvation. So salvation is a personal blessing. That's number one. Number one, salvation itself is a personal blessing. In other words, it benefits you personally. Amen. God saved you to give you a benefit. It has nothing to do about. It has nothing to do with your merits. It has everything to do with his purpose for your life. It has everything to do with his will that leaves an inheritance to their children. Some make plans for their children even before their children develop. They put away college funds, those that can. Some put away trust funds until they get to a certain age. They did that for the benefit of that individual. Period. So salvation is a personal blessing. So when you receive Christ as your personal, when you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are now what we call a born-again Christian, a born-again believer of Christ. That was for you personally. Okay? So some things don't come ready. So we have to put them together. So some of us, we weren't born to be little angels, to be perfect, to be all good Samaritans. Some of us came up in rough environments that made us very defensive. So we have to learn to be kind. We have to learn to share. We have to learn to give. These things we must learn and develop to do. You know, I may have been called to be a preacher, but I had to learn how to preach. I had to learn how to teach. I had to do it through a process of trying and failing and succeeding and learning from what I succeeded, learning what worked and what didn't work. You know, So we had to go. I had to go through a process. Amen. You ever bought a bookshelf that did not come already ready-made? You know, or you go to the store and you buy one of those desks. You see the desk, the display is all set up nice and neat. But when you ask for it, they give you a box and all the pieces are in the box. And you got to put it together. It says some assembly required. or sometimes they just say assembly required. And, you know, it's going to have the tools that's necessary to put it together. You know, it would be foolish of us who never done it before to say, ah, I see the picture. This seems simple. And begin to grab random pieces and start building it without first reading the instructions. Without first making sure that all the parts was there. So there's a process. We need the instructions or the instruction manual for our lives so that we can put our lives together. Some of our lives are not together, not because we are quote-unquote bad people, but we're quote-unquote people who have not read all the instructions. See, how can I love you when I'm still trying to figure out how to love me? I was abused and never got over it, and I have anger issues, and I haven't learned how to bypass little trigger things. So how I'm going to really be more beneficial to you when I'm still working on me? See, the importance of reading the book, the manual to our lives, that's the BIBLE, basic instruction before leaving Earth. Instructions is the key word there. Some of our lives are complex, but it's only complex because we try to bypass the basics. We want to be famous and rich, but we didn't learn how to budget. We didn't learn how to be accountable. So we didn't learn first things first. So, again, number one, salvation is our personal blessing. And under that, we have to understand that with that, everything don't come all, you know, the day you get saved, you don't instantly become this great super Christian. No. There's some instructions that's needed so that you can be the best Christian. That's what it means by working out your salvation. You must learn how to be your brother's keeper. You must learn how to be strong so that you can bear the infirmity of the weak. Otherwise, you will overlook the weak and thereby not fulfill purpose in why God made you strong. And just because you're strong here don't mean you're strong over there. So we need the instructions, plural, or the instructions manual. So there's one manual, the Bible. Bible are many instructions. Yeah, but again, going back to that chest, building that cabinet from scratch, using the you got to put it all together, and the pieces of wood and metal that may come to you may see letters and symbols on it, saying you must have so many of this and so many of that. And this part and that part. And the instructions begin to tell you that this part and this part must face together. Well, sometimes we don't work because we don't know how to face one another. We Well, I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing. And we turn opposite and not realizing I can't do what I need to do because I need to be facing you, and you can't be what you need to be because you need to be facing me, because the purpose that God has both of us in the same area is to build this one foundation, but we can't build it together because I want to be the boss. You want to be the boss. And we forget that Jesus is the boss. Because the scripture said, I will have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of who? Every man is Christ. And the head of woman is man. Now, that's what the book said. But when we try to reverse the world and forget, and the head of Christ is God the Father, when we forget, we create beasts, two-headed figures, three-headed figures. And we don't line up with the mind of Christ. Again, read this whole chapter 2. And what I just said will make more sense. So, third little bullet point. Up under my point number one, we need to look at our own manual for our lives and not other people's manuals. In other words, both Missionary Ken and myself are preachers, but I can't look at his manual and try to preach to whom he was released to preach to the way I preach. And he can't do the same in my direction. Now, it doesn't mean he can't minister to the group I'm ministering to. And it don't mean I can't minister to the group that he's ministering to. What it does mean is I can't minister the way he minister, and he can't minister the way I minister. How is that possible? Why? Because I'll just take it from a practical standpoint. He ministered to the blind. I ministered to the sight. So whereas I can physically tell you all that have sight, open up your book and read with me. Unless you have a Braille Bible, you won't be able to read out loud and follow along with me unless you have quoted, memorized the scripture itself to quote it. So you won't be able to follow along with me. And if he's ministering to my group who has sight, but the only Bibles that he has to give them to read from are Braille Bibles, they're just going to feel bumps on pages. It's going to be the same word, going to have same meaning, same purpose. And he goes to reading in Braille, and they sitting there looking dumbfounded. Not because he's reading something far, but because the method in which it is presented has a different way of observance. So he has to minister according to the manual that God has given him, and likewise me. I have to minister to the manual that I build, I have. Now, that goes on even further. If Brother Charles was a minister, well, he could travel the world and run around, but 15 years ago, if we had met and both of us was on the circuit of doing things, he could travel the world without no remorse because he had no wife or children. But I couldn't do that. But you can, yes, you can, man. The gospel, I have an obligation to my wife and my children. But you can't put nothing before the Lord. That is true. but I still have an obligation. I can't forget or omit my responsibility. It wasn't that I couldn't travel, but I can only travel when it was convenient based on what's going on in my life. And I know that's hard to take, but it's true. Because what would be the good of me saving the world and losing my own family if I had a way of bringing them with me? Or if I had a season in which I traveled and a season in which I stayed with them? It's not that it wasn't manageable, but I can't just pick up and go. So everyone has a manual to their life. Now, that's just a practical thing. And it goes in so many different areas. So it's important for me to, here's another example. I recently had to, I lost the, in my front room and in my bedroom, we have the exact same type TV. But unfortunately, what happened is one of the remotes got lost. And we couldn't find it for nothing, and it's been missing. So I had to go and buy a new remote, a universal remote, so that we can have a remote to control the other TV without having to keep carrying the remote back and forth. Well, the original remote to the other one broke. So I had to go buy another universal remote. Well, somehow or another, the universal remote lost its programming. So it had to be reprogrammed. And because it was purchased so long ago, we didn't have the manual any longer to program it. So I had a remote that had possibilities of controlling the device, but I didn't have the manual. So I didn't know exactly what to do. When I bought the new remote, because they was not the same universal remote, this one program for the other did not work the same. So I was left to find the instruction on reprogramming the other remote. And our lives are the same. We may have great potential to do a lot, but without the exact instructions, we're just devices that cannot be used to its full potential until we get the right programming. And so it's very important for us to understand that individually and for born-again Christian, the right programming manual for us is God's holy word through the Bible. God has spoken what he spoken for us so that we may know his will, his way, his love, and begin to understand our purpose that we may fulfill the righteousness in which he has us here for. So, once again, we need to look at our own manual for our life, not the manual of other people. There's nothing wrong with me admiring you. There's nothing wrong with you admiring me. And if we're in the same field, there's nothing wrong with you getting information from me. But just in case there's some variation between what you're trying to do and what I'm trying to do with the question of why, we must seek God for that complete understanding The second point of why we must work out our own salvation is salvation requires constant personal care. What did you say, preacher? I said salvation requires constant personal care. Yeah. One scripture said, you did run well, but who hindered you? So just because you got saved 10 years ago don't mean that you're to abandon ship. It doesn't mean that you're to run a different way. Story of Jonah, we don't know how long Jonah was a prophet. We don't know how long Jonah had been ministering for God. What we do know is Jonah received an assignment from God and decided that the people wasn't worth him making the trip. So he went the wrong way. He went the opposite way. Trouble met him. Why? Because he threw away the manual. Started functioning the way he wasn't supposed to function, it caused something else to malfunction. And to the fact that he had to admit, the reason why this is going on is my fault. To your car owners, your car been telling you, change oil soon. You know, the little electronic dash tells you it's flashing. Change oil soon. If you go through the little manual things on it, it says your oil life is down 20% left. You get down to 10%, it says change oil now. Not soon. It says change oil now. The car is telling you to change oil now. And it's down. It's showing that the oil life is down to 10%. Well, you say, well, I use the best oil, this, that, and the other. I'm going to run it another 3,000 miles. And then later on, your check engine light comes on and your engine started sounding funny, and you get an attitude with your vehicle and start fussing and complaining, this piece of junk, this, it's not the engine fault, it's not the transmission fault, it's not the tire's fault, it's not the gas fault, it's the owner's fault, you. Because you ignored the manual that flashed it on the dashboard that said, time to do this. The Bible tells us that men are always to pray and to faint not. What do you say? Well, I don't need to pray every day. I don't need to make vain repetition words, blah, 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 this, that, God knows my heart. And we do all this other stuff, and we forget to talk to the Lord. And then when trouble comes, then we wondering what happened. Well, we ignored the warning sign. So it's important for us to continue that personal salvation. It requires constant care. But it is point number two. Let me give you three things under point number two. Now, again, point number one, for those of you that's taking notes, point number one was salvation is a personal blessing. A, something don't come ready. So we have to put it together. We need the instruction manual to our lives, We need the instruction manual to live together. how to get along with people. We need that instruction manual because everybody's not the same. We need to learn that. We need to see, we need to look at our own manual for our lives, not other people's manual. Okay? So now we're at point number two. Point number two is salvation requires constant personal care. Remember, the scriptures say work out your own salvation. So this is personal care. In other words, just like you have to take a bath daily, or make sure you're, especially if you're in the workforce, you're leaving the home every day, it's needful for you working around other people to make sure that your hair is combed, your teeth is brushed, your goggle, if you goggle, you know, you have to make sure that your hygiene is good. This is personal care. Otherwise, when you engage with others and you're not managing these personal care, you smell different and you smell indifferent. I'm going to put it that way. And you make people not want to stay in your company because they're uncomfortable. Some people want to say things, but they're uncomfortable. So now they're talking about you in a negative way. And it matters because if you say you represent Christ, but your clothes are not clean, you're always smelling funny, you have a bad attitude, these things matter. Salvation requires constant personal care. Okay? A, it's my job to take care of myself. It's not somebody else's job. My job to deal with my own insufficiencies and learn how to overcome them. You know, if I had a smoking habit, it's my job to overcome that. If I had a drinking habit, it's my job to overcome that. Amen. If I had a drug habit, it's my job to overcome that. If I had a gambling habit, it's my job to overcome that. If I had just a bad temper, it's my job to overcome that. So it's my job, A, it's my job to take care of myself. Why? Because I can't help you if I can't help me. Okay. B, maintenance is required in our lives. Maintenance. Yeah, you know what maintenance is. Maintenance says that when your brakes get low, you have to replace them. When your oil is used past so many miles, it's time to change out the oil. Maintenance is every now and then when you're sitting in this chair and the screws start getting loose, you have to tighten them up. Maintenance says you've been using this outlet. It's real loose now. You have to tighten it up. Maintenance says this one has burned out. You have to change it out. You have to replace it. It's like tires on a car. You've worn it out. It's time for a new. So maintenance is required in our lives. If you don't realize when you're getting older, certain nutrients are needed in your life for you to maintain certain energy levels. So you got to take care of yourself. You got to eat well. And that's why they have vitamins as supplements. Maybe all the food that you do have, you don't get all the necessary nutrients in your body. So you can't help but be grumpy because you're either hungry or you're malnourished. Things matter. So maintenance is required in our lives. See, you have all you need, but you haven't took time to put it together. God has been telling you to do certain things. You got paper, you got pen, but you won't start writing. God is giving you the vision. He's giving you the image. It's in your head, but you won't put it down on paper. You won't take time to type on your computer. You got computers. You got a computer that works. You won't turn it on. You won't utilize what's made available for you. So salvation requires that constant personal care. Let's stop putting off tomorrow what we can actually do now. Now, I know it may be late where you are right now, and tomorrow may be actually the physical tomorrow. But the question is, will you actually do what you need to do? Okay? So it's not going to get done until you do it. Saying I like to give us that salvation is a divine work. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because the grace of God, we're saved by grace, not by our works. It is of God so that no one can boast. So salvation is a divine work, okay? But what we have to take from that is we must have the confidence that God is working on us so we should not quit. You know that for your health sake, you need to stop smoking. Well, I like to share it like this. If you normally smoke 4 cigarettes a day, your challenge is to start smoking just 3. And once you've done that for about 2 or 3 weeks, go to 2. Do that for a week or 2. Then try 2.5. Just reduce it by half. Go to 1. 1.5. Till you have stopped completely. Same way with drinking. If you had felt the need to have your beer at the end of work every day, challenge yourself to change that beer to a root beer. Instead of doing your Budweiser 5 days a week, maybe go to 3. Throw your root beer in there, a Coke, or Mountain Dew. Make it a part of your fast. The question is, are you fasting? Maybe that's something that you must add into your routine so that you overcome the workings of your flesh and develop the workings of the Spirit of God within you. But in any case, don't quit serving God. Don't quit going after God. Even if you fail at these assignments, don't stop. You have a cussing habit? Try your best to use other words than words of derogative. Find other words to use. Oh, Sugarfoot. They say, huh? Yeah. Man, hockey sticks. Find something else. Make yourself laugh. You're intelligent enough to come up with other words. However, if you falter, still don't quit trusting God and don't quit trying. Because some days you're going to be able to do it and some days you may be challenged. But don't quit trying to be better. Okay? It's a divine work because the more you trust God to help you overcome these things, the stronger you become. Okay? Don't beat yourself up when you fail at these areas at times. Okay? So that's A. B, you may be thinking about quitting, and that's when God's grace starts working. Okay? But you must trust that. Just follow the instruction He, God, gives you. Why? Because He's faithful to finish the work He started in you. And that's what you must be confident in, that God will finish the work He started in you. So those are my points in this evening's teaching. Now I want to read Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. We're still in Philippians, haven't changed. Verse 15 says that you may be blameless. Wow. So God wants you to work out your salvation for the purpose of you not to be blameless and harmless. Okay? So once again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, reading from the King James, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. So women, this applies to you because sonship is really the, that deals with authority. Okay? So this applies to sisterhood too. It lets you know that you're part of the family. That's your inheritance. So the sons of God. So that means you have, you're belonging to God. Okay? So the sons of God. So for those of you that may be still strong, I'm going to just say children of God. Okay? So the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This applies right here, right now, with all the different movements that's contrary to the word of God. This is why you have to work out your salvation so that you are blameless in the presence of everything that's going on. So it's important for you to look right and to be right in the eyes of others. And we're to do that in the presence of people. It's important that I demonstrate the nature of God as a man of God, not just as a preacher. My sons need to see me holy. My wife needs to see me holy. You know, and husband and wife, they fall out all the time, quiet as it may be. But at the end of the day, they must be able to identify that this is a son and daughter of the Most High. Okay? Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine lights in the world, whom ye shine as lights in the world, who shines as lights in the world. The world is a place of darkness, sin, and mischief. And it is our job to shine in the midst of darkness. Because some people don't want to be stranded in darkness. Some people are looking for a way out. So it's important for me to know the word of God. It's important for me to understand the purpose of God, the purpose of the Bible. When God saved us, He had our mission in His mind. So when God saved you, He had a mission for you in His mind in this world that needs light. How do I know that? Well, when I read Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. Verse 14 reads, again, from the King James, Matthew 5, verse 14, James says, ye, which is you, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. That says plain and simple to us that where you are to light up the room. When you come to wherever it is you're coming or go to wherever it is you're going, you are a burning light. You're not a dim light. You are a burning light. Because in this setting, the light is not our lights that we turn on. We got these new LED lights. You can touch them lights. They've been on all day. You can still put your hand on it and won't be burned, won't be consumed with it. This type of light, a candle, if you put your finger on it, it's going to send you. If you put your hand over it, it's going to burn you. But if you use it properly, it's going to illuminate all the darkness in the areas in which you're walking. It's going to light up your path. Amen. So it says it gives light unto all that are in the house. That means sometimes we're worrying about the whole world, but let's just focus on the house, those that's close. Let's illuminate God. Let's reveal God to those that's in the house, in our area. You know, when the bathroom door is closed, the light is on, it's not shining light in the hallway. But everything in the bathroom is lit up. So let's focus on that. Let's focus on illuminating that's helping those who's in our area that we can touch now. Yeah, it is true that we got great big hearts and we want to do so much more. But let's help those that's in the same room. Like, you're part of this program right now. You're listening to me right now. My focus is on you right now. My focus is not on my job that I got to go to in a few. My focus is not on the other ministries that I do. It's not focusing on who I'm going to have to minister to later on. But it's focused on the here and the now, what I'm able to do now. I'm not thinking about the next sermon that I'm going to minister or preach or teach. All those things are very important. Now, don't get me wrong. But my focus now is to shine here, to make sure I'm clear here now. So verse 16 says, let. Remember, again, we started out with let being the creative word. It is one of allowance. Put your hand over your heart or your chest area and say, in me is the light of Christ. In me is the light of Christ. And I must let him shine. And he shines through the good work that I do. So it says, verse 16, And we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light so shine. Where? Before men, as before people. That they, who? The people, the men, the women, the children, the boys, the girls. That they may see your good work. Remember, works is not your job. Works is the things that you do that God can get the credit for. As a Christian, when you go on a secular job, accomplishing the job is you fulfilling your purpose of being there. They see you as a Christian who is competent. That brings God's name glory. But if you are slacking on your job, being lazy on your job, coming very late to your job, not fulfilling your job, trying to leave early from your job, being troublesome on your job, that are working, you trying to preach. They hired you to work. They didn't hire you as a minister. Real people rather see a Christian any day than hear one. Because the truth and the proof of your Christianity is in what you do, not what you say. They see your good works, not hear your good methods. It's here in the writing. So I didn't miss scripture. I didn't misquote anything. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So I'm fortified in what I said, that your work is things that God can get the credit for. Amen? So when they acknowledge you for being good on your job, you acknowledge the Father for giving you the ability to do that good or to do that well. That's how God gets the glory. Okay? And with that, I am complete with my message. A little bit earlier than I planned. Wow, that came fast. I'm shocked. Amen. Let me go back to the board here and open up the board. Amen. There we go. My screen was refreshing. I've opened up the boards now to give anyone opportunity for questions, comments, a statement. Yeah, I know I'm always concerned with your mental. So at this time, I'd like to give you opportunity to say what it is that you have to say concerning the outline tonight. Amen. God bless you. Come on. Anybody?
Great message as always. My instruction manual is getting myself back to get rid of this cold. So that's it for me.
Amen. Now that's
taking some
good,
taking some more of this medicine.
There you go. There
yeah.
you go. That's what's called the maintenance part of the lesson.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Being mindful
great
to take personal care, because number one, you don't want to spread germs.
Right.
Necessarily. So it's important for you to be cold free, but we often I tell people, if you catch a cold, remember you caught it, so just go ahead and drop it.
Yeah. And I'm be taking some medicine. Yeah. Be taking some more medicine as soon as I get off of here and turning it in.
Amen. Proper rest.
Amen.
We did that teaching a couple weeks ago. Taking care of yourself is a very vital part of Christian living, personal living, just living in general. If you wanna be productive in life, it's very important for you to be mindful of your health. Period. Regardless of your age. And yeah. Anyone else?
To God be the glory for all he has done in our life today. Thank God for the word tonight. Appreciate everything. I received it. Definitely put my hand on my heart and let the light shine in me. Do good works. So thank God for the word tonight, and God bless everyone.
Amen.
Yeah, the word was good tonight. I appreciate it. Talking about maintenance and working on ourselves for our salvation, and I thought it was a very good message. Thank you. I'm complete.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. So thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. I just prayed everybody was able to receive that for what it was. And, man, we all have something to work on. And that's not nothing to be ashamed about. None of us have everything together. And if we do, to whom much is given, much is required. So if there's much for you to do, if you have accomplished much, that means there's much you have to do. And the proof of what you've done and what you're doing, that determines how much you have truly have accomplished. So we have work to do. Now, I'm quite sure I'm not the only one on the line that have not fulfilled all of their dreams and purpose. I'm quite sure that the rest of us have things that we want to accomplish this year. Amen. Be it in ministry, personal, financially, family, however you bring the picture around, if we will jigsaw puzzles, there'll be few pieces missing. And so let's work on our puzzle. Let's get it together so that we may be all that God has called us to be individually. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So real quick before we depart, pray and depart, once again, thank God for everyone on the line tonight. Amen. How's your, because we always got to be mindful of our mental. Amen. We have challenges. Amen. Even the strong of us. Amen. I was talking recently to someone that was sharing some things about me, about one of their children going through some things. And just so happened I went through a similar thing in transition of a job. And although I could have sought to do a lawsuit and all of these things, I just mentally did not have it within me to go to fight. And sometimes our mental fortitude to fight the next battle can be the reason why we threw in the towel, or the reason why we tried to change the page without finished reading that chapter. And so we have those challenges in life, all of us. I've had them. Amen. And I'm just thankful that God has given me an opportunity to look things over in my life and be objective in it. And I'm thankful that I have someone that I can talk to concerning those deeper things that I don't share with the general public, and that I can work those things out in my mind Because some things, if we don't have no one to talk to about, they are like a sore that gets untreated. It festers. And when it festers, you know, the blood itself becomes contaminated and it becomes poison and it begins to poison us from within. And so it's like I'm having an open wound where the blood become, I think the word is called septic. And it's on the inside of your body. And it become infectious. And you have an infection on the inside of you. And regardless to how well you look on the outside, because you didn't deal with the blood of it, the root of it, you're being poison on the inside. So as we move forward, some things we have to come clean with. We have to admit it and move on. We have to talk to those whom we're supposed to talk to, because everybody can't hear what you're going through. Everybody can't handle what you're going through. So don't be quick to tell everybody your trouble. But talk to those that are professional and those that are there to help you jump that hurdle. Or, in other words, those that's going to help you heal. And so if you need a therapist, don't be ashamed to get one. If you need to talk to your pastor, or your minister, and even your life coach, if you have to talk to them about getting to the next level, don't be afraid to do that. Amen?
Amen.
So how's your mental? Everybody doing at least one thumb up tonight? I know you got two hands, but
yes, two thumbs up. My crown is sitting just right, and I'm just happy and excited. Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm thankful and grateful.
That's right.
I'm complete.
Happy birthday! I forgot it was on today's date. Amen.
No,
well,
tomorrow.
Happy,
tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Tuesday.
Tomorrow. 30. Yeah, the 30th.
Okay.
Yeah, we all supposed to get on the phone tomorrow at 8 o'clock, right?
Yep.
8:30.
Yeah. I remember my first lady talking about it yesterday. She was saying something.
okay.
She remember everybody birthday. I give that department. I give that department over to her. She remembers. You know, once upon a time, how we used to, before cell phones, we remember everybody's telephone number. That's my wife. She remembers everybody's birthday. Me,
that's
I
beautiful.
Know you got one. I know you have one. I don't have a problem acknowledging anybody's birthday, but remember it takes the Lord. I tell them, listen, I knows a handful of birthdays. I know my own. I know my wife. I know my mom. And I know my children. And I know a few of them, my siblings. But outside of that scope, I know you got one. And sometimes I remember where about it is. Try to hold on to it. I know a few more than that, but I've been trying to remember, but my wife remember everybody's birthday. She do just, I don't know if she always had it. I said, ain't somebody's birthday coming up? What day is it? She said, and she'll start naming. I'm like, their birthday this month too? Oh, okay. And she started naming everybody. I'm like, good Lord. And I ain't going to start talking right now because I need to end. But she'll tell you who got what month got the most birthdays in the family. She did it. That's her gift. And I look, she can have it all by herself.
Well, I'm not going to talk too much, but I definitely supposed to give you a call if I could get it most everybody's number, you know, if I could do what I said I was going to do. So,
okay.
And I didn't call last week, and I know it's your birthday, so I just I want you to celebrate. So, but I did need to get most everybody their phone number so I can do what we said we was going to do.
So just for our listeners' sake, we had your birthday this month and Missionary Ken's, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So from my family, we need to send both of y'all something. I said to our listeners, those that want to celebrate anyone's birthday, you can always send your contribution to the station, and in the note part of it, indicate what you are sending it for. And Brother Charles, aka Six Eyes, he will see to that those funds are delivered to whom they belong to. Anyone like to support the Six Eyes Motivational Monday program, you are welcome to do so, and you do it through the contribution of this radio station. And since Brother Six is here, I'm going to let him give those information as we close out on tonight. And with that, again, I am complete. Brother Six, if you give that information.
Is he still here?
I think so. Well, to those that like to make a contribution to the program, to be a blessing to any of all our stations, there are two platforms in which we use, and that is, if you like to use the PayPal platform or the Cash App platform, on Cash App, it is $6Eyes24. That is $FixEyes, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. That's $6Eyes24. And if you're using PayPal, in the email address you want to type in, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's sixeyes6@gmail.com. It is spelled SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And whatever your contribution amount is, it is greatly appreciated. We love you with the love of Christ. And as we pray, we're praying for our nation and the things that we're coming up to. This year is an Olympic year. We're looking for a lot of things to happen this year. Amen. And so we want to be attentive to the things that's going on around us and in our world today. The month of February, we'll be celebrating Black History. Amen. And we will be dealing with a lot of things. And so I will be bringing many things to our attention, or to our remembrance of those that came before us, and even those that are doing things current that are adding to our world today. And so with that being said, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for yet another day and another program. We continue to say thank you to you for giving us life, health, and strength, a reasonable portion of strength and a reasonable portion of health. And so we thank you that you're looking out over us and taking care of us. We ask that you will continue, Lord God, to do what no other power can do, and that's to keep us safe from all unseen hurt, harm, or in danger. You are our burglar boss. You are our alarm system. You are our way maker. You are our covenant keeper. You are our everything, and we thank you for being that. And we thank you for the connections that you have given us in this life. And we pray, Lord God, that as we fulfill the purpose in which you have given us, that we are connected to the right people to encourage them to be all that they are to be. And we just thank you, Lord God, for the assignment that you have given us. We thank you for the life that you have given us. And we thank you for your love and patience towards us. We love you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for teaching us how to love you in return. We love you. God bless everyone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We are dismissed. God bless you.
God bless everyone.
God bless. Have a great evening.
Thank you.